Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has great things for those who love Him, those who do His Word. You know, it's a blessing to hear the Word of God. The Word of God helps us build on the foundation of the blood. Jesus dying for us, shedding His blood, His righteous blood, gives us a chance to have a clean heart, a new spirit. And the Word of God picks it up from there. If we have appreciation for the love of God and we hear His perfect Word, remember, the Word of God is perfect. So if we receive His Word, we can become perfected. It's through the blood, through the blood and the washing of the water of the Word. So hearing the Word of God helps us stay on board with God. I found some old writings about a week or so ago, and it really blessed me. They're timeless. The Word of God is timeless. It's a living letter. That's the perfect name for it. When the Lord first gave me those writings, I didn't know what to call it. My mother said they were sermons, which, yeah, they are. But the Lord called them living letters. Because I wrote something in 93, I pick it up and it's relevant for today. And when I go in the prayer room and hear the Lord talk, it's beautiful. It's wisdom. You can tell and judge that it's right from the time you first receive it. And in doing so, I learned to listen and enjoy the things of God in a greater way. And I love it. There's a peace that comes with it. There's a great peace in hearing what God has to say and acting on it. And whenever I hear His Word, whatever it is, it's always good, and it always blesses me. Now, the things that He helped me to see and understand, it takes me further on in life. It takes me forward in life. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's beautiful. It's wisdom. And the things of God are so true and pure. And I remember that. When I would hear Him say things in the prayer room, and it would be perfect, and sometimes you would hear preachers say the same thing, but most of the time it'll be in a more watered down way, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. And I started paying attention, and back in those days I didn't know things that I found out about. I didn't know that people were gradually going off course, and they were doing things that they thought was relevant. But when you follow God, you'll stay on perfect course, and things are different. The speech of the Lord is perfect. It's perfect love, perfect wisdom, perfect holiness. Now, men seeing through a glass darkly, if something becomes very important to us and it's not perfect. It can be in your heart so much that you'll believe that it's of God. And, you know, Jeremiah pointed this out. When the captors were in Babylon, they wanted to go back to Israel. So prophets were raised up. And everybody wanted to go back to their homeland. That's understandable. And it was in their heart. They really wanted to go back to their homeland. So prophets came and told them. They began to say that they were going back to Israel, to Judah. And that was not the case. They were going to be there for 70 years according to the words that Jeremiah had prophesied. And Jeremiah told them this for years before it happened. And now they're over there. They didn't believe they were going in the first place. But yet here we are, that we're in Babylon, we're not going home. And so Jeremiah had to deal with this problem. He sent him a letter. And that, you know, when people want something so much, the voice, your spirit man has a voice. And your, you know, whenever I want something that a lot, I really want it to happen, I run it by the Lord first. Because when you really, 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 really want something, it's easy to hear what you want to hear. And if it's of God, if it's not going to hurt me, if it's something good and wholesome, I can have it. I know that. But if it's something that, if it's anything that you really, really want, and you want it to, just let's say, here's a good example. You want to be married, and here's this girl that you like. And the more you think about her, the more you like her. Now, this is the perfect example because it happens to so many people. When you care about something, it's just like the election. If you really love the candidate, you overlook all their crazy faults. If you hate the candidate, you can't see nothing good that they do. Well, that's how it is when you're falling in love with somebody. And after a while, the Lord's not going to be able to tell you anything. If you really want it to be the way you imagined it. And I can guarantee you it's not the way you imagined it unless things are just happen to line up. And I thank God for people who do have a good marriage. And when God is in it, I thank God for that. But when it gets deep-seated in your heart, when God says her heart is not towards you, now, when you hear it, but you didn't want to hear it, and you ask him again, and you're picking to see if you can weasel your way in your will, and you know what's going to happen. You're going to be head over heels in love. You marry her. She's the wrong one. And then she break your heart. Then you can't see nothing good about her. But it was just like God said in the first place. Or the Lord is, he can tell you how the marriage is going to be. And when me and Alicia got married, he told me things about her. But at that point in my life, I had learned to listen to the Lord. And the whole marriage has been just like he said. And I'm very happy and blessed. See, when you listen to the Lord, it's going to be like he said. You just got to trust him. So when people want something so much, it can become a voice in their heart. So Jeremiah told the people not to listen to the prophets that were telling them they were going back to Israel. And then he said, don't even believe your own dreams. When I read this, I was like, I said, you know, this is awesome. And I had never heard something, you know, the first time I read that in Jeremiah, I was just astonished at the word. I said, Lord, you're so perfect. You do things so perfect. I mean, it's a blessing to follow you. It really is. And to stay in the perfect will of God. I think this is it. I was looking for it while I was talking. Jeremiah 29. Yeah, here it is. That's it. Verse 1 says, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the captain, and the carpenters, and the smiths, were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah the king of Judah sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Jeremiah said, and the Lord said, Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know your thoughts that I think toward, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you. Now, you know, this says a lot right here about following God's instruction. If you do something, the problem is not people hearing from God. They hear from him, but how are they hearing? And what are they hearing? When the Lord give me a word that's all, if God bothered to give you something, it's very important, especially if you didn't ask for it. Those things go on the top shelf. Whatever God bring to me is very important. It's the first priority. That's what I mean by putting it on the top shelf. Some things to me is new to me. It's so new, it's weird to me. So when that happens for me, I have to be faithful. Now, I set my heart to be faithful to him, because that's where I'm going to win. Our victory is in obedience. It's always been in obedience. We have authority and we have victory, but it's always tied to our obedience, and our obedience is tied to our sincere love. And the people that have the greatest testimonies and the most victory, that I noticed three things that they have in common. They have sincere love, and they have obedience, the love of God, sincerity, and obedience. They are people who just love God's will. Now, we also love the things that we desire to have, or things that we think, situations we desire to have happen. And that's understandable. You know, such as where we live, the type of house we live in, the kind of car we drive, who we're married to, the condition of our life, the situations in our life, our children. We have so many desires, and they're so important to us. And our children are so important to us that we can think about them all day. But when it comes to doing God's will, that has to be first priority. Because if we follow him, everything, you know, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things will be added to our life. And it's so much easier to trust God. If you're trusting God with his business, it's easier to trust God with your business. And God, he never lets me down. He always exceeds my expectations. He always blessed me more than I could ever think about it. And why would I love my will above his all of a sudden, when all the while I was doing it his way and it was working? Just think about that a moment. So when in the days that now I have to, the Lord put me in a, he had me in a situation where I saw what was going on in the early year, in the early years of my ministry, and he was training me and he was teaching me the value of people following him. And he was showing me detailed information what happens when people follow him. And I would see visions of what would happen if the course of following God perfectly was taken versus the path of God's permissive will was taken. And most people always took the permissive will. And the struggle was always, always so tied to what they thought they needed the most. Sometimes they wanted a better church. Sometimes they wanted more members. Sometimes they wanted to, they want things to go a certain way. They want to get over a certain problem. Just normal stuff. But God is saying, hey, follow me. If you follow him, you're going to trust him with everything that pertains to you know, you're going to do it his way only. You're going to, it's going to, if it can be in your heart to do God's will, the way he gives it to you, the format that he gives it to you, as it is for something you desperately want to happen, that's when you can really go forward without controversy, without, and I say controversy, you know, without two opinions, without, you'll be wholehearted in it. And when you can be, and it's possible to become wholehearted in doing whatever God say. But if you ever do, now this is to all who have ears to hear, if you do, it's going to exceed your expectations, and you'll never have to worry about what you desire ever again, because all of those things will be taken care of. And people that are in your life that shouldn't be, they're going to leave. That's just, I promise you, when you're obeying God, you know, everything that attached because of pride will leave. Everything that that's there because of jealousy will leave. There's no two ways about it. But there are people that can hold things back. It's not that God hates them. He loves them. He loved them just like he loved Jesus. But people choose, when they set their path, they set their path. And if they love the world more than they love God, they're going to leave. And I don't say that lightly. This is very important. Some people love power. And just like Herod, he married his brother's wife. That woman loved power. She was married to his brother. But here's Herod over there. He's the king, so she followed the power. Some people follow the power. It's not the relationship they want. It's the power. So when you start doing things God's way, then all of a sudden you're submissive. And I mean, I've seen these kind of patterns. That's why I bring it up. And the Lord can't, he's not going to do a holy thing with an unholy atmosphere. It's not going to happen. He's going to clean up the atmosphere first. Before God goes to battle, he always get rid of the idols or expose them for what they are. Because when he do a thing, hear me good, when he do a thing, it's going to be right. If there's anything that's not of him in front play, he's going to move it out of the way. If it's hard-headed, if it's pride, especially if it's pride, if it's lust or greed, those idols have to be torn down first. And the people that's attached to them, they're not going to go where you're going. So God will do surgery. When he's done doing the surgery, then he'll build you up again and take you forward. You're not going to bring in a great revival with idols hanging around, with idolaters in the mix. He'll raise the standard, and everything that leaves will leave, and everything that remains is this foundation. He always builds on a clean foundation. And that's his way. Nobody can change that about him. And when people taught things that were not true, unapproved doctrine, those things have to be dealt with. In the Holiness Church, women couldn't wear pants, makeup, jewelry, things that, it was a big deal. You couldn't, they had rules that God didn't give. But they love God. But first, we got to get rid of this foolishness. See, in Colossians chapter 2, the Lord said, when it comes to the rules and doctrines of men, he said, touch not, taste not, handle not. You're not going to bring in a flood revival with that. And I knew this. Now, that wasn't the only thing, but I got to give some kind of example. There were many reasons why he wanted to do more. And sometimes the churches he sent me to, they were already impressive to me. But the Lord was restricted. And our God, he don't have to be restricted. He doesn't want to be restricted because more souls are on the line. Now, if people follow God, it's going to be done right. It's not going to be set up to make one person get all the glory. It's not going to happen that way. In fact, he told me that'll never happen again. He's going to use people strategically. See, when pride is involved, pride makes one person look good or a few people look good. That's not important. It never was important. It's the heart of God. People doing their part. When we have his heart, everything will just fall in place. You relax, you trust God, you do what he say, and it falls in place. It's easier that way. And I walk around learning these things, and I'm like, wow, I didn't know this would happen. And I see how God, I know the revelation that God gives. That's why I say that. I'm looking at what he already gave and what I see on earth. So a few years ago, God started raising up people that saying the same things that he had me saying way back then. Perry Stone said that the next revival is going to be done through people with no name people. It won't be a big name preacher come to town and everybody go to the Civic Center. It's not going to happen that way anymore. And they had teams of people. I understand that. And what they did, God was working with us. That's what we were used to. So he worked with it. And years ago, people were humble too. They were kind of humble that way. But now, God is raising up sincere people that have broken through the confines of dead doctrine, the confines of cold religion. Now, cold religion doesn't do anything. That's Pharisee leaven and Herod leaven. It's no good. It doesn't want to see people be free, get healed, unless they help to make somebody a name or something. That's not God's way anymore. He's not going to do it. This is going to be a real heart work, a heart love work of God. People that they're sincere, they love God, and they do whatever he say without restriction. Now, the amount of time that God, when he first give us something to do, he give us a clear instruction and the time that we actually perform it, that can be a duration. Sometimes we have to get on board. And so sometimes you don't have time to get on board. You have to act now. It's kind of like Rachel. Rebecca. Not Rachel, but Rebecca. They asked the damsel, will you go with this man? And she said, yes, I will go. And she went. And she was faithful. She made the Rebecca choice. That's what I call it. She had a visitation. Once in a lifetime opportunity, it's not going to come back. We know that because if she said, I don't think I'll go, and then the man left, wait, let's go. I want to go catch him. I want to go. No, you said no. He's not coming back. But she didn't know that, just like we don't. Sometimes the Lord tells us to do something. It could be that Rebecca choice moment. That's the only thing that's going to get you over, is to say yes to your visitation. And you don't always get another one. And the next time you say yes, it may be an inferior path that you're going to walk compared to the one that you should have walked. Because there's a lot of reasons for that. And I don't say these things lightly. I'm reminded of a church. You know, I love the Lord. I don't like talking about the negative, but I'm going to give this example so that you'll see. The Lord was raising up people. They had listened to the pastor, and they were growing. And they came to a point that the spiritual gifts started operating in their lives. Now, when they gave a word or something, they were nervous as a cat. But they delivered the word. They sung the song, and it was prophetic. But they were nervous. You could tell that they were just starting, and they needed God. They needed to be. They need to use these gifts. And not just the older people, but teenagers too. And the Lord had me to tell the pastor that he's given his people in the congregation spiritual gifts, and he wanted him to allow them to use them. Now, I got to tell, I don't like to tell people how to run their ministry. But I had to tell him this word because this is what the Lord told me. Now, he was doing what he was supposed to do. They received the gifts. They were operating in it. And they needed him to be their coach so that they could continue, grow strong in the Lord and stable, and go out and win souls like they were supposed to. But what happened? He told me, no, they'll get in the flesh and they'll do this and that. I said, this is what the Lord told me. I said, if you release them to use the gifts, God's going to bless them, and he's going to bless the church, and the church is going to grow. He said, if you don't do it, he's going to send them away. He took it lightly anyway. He said, well, no, they'll get in the flesh. They'll do that. I said, and then he ended the conversation and changed the subject and went on and did something else. Just like the Lord, it didn't even take long. Within a month, I saw his members sitting in another church that I had visited. And one of them was going to join. The lady that had began to use her word of knowledge gift in song. It was beautiful. But she was nervous, but she did it. And the Lord sent her to another church, and she was a woman of honor. She said, the Lord want me to join this church, but first I would join this week, but I'm going to go and talk to my pastor and tell him that I'm leaving, do it right, and then I'll be back. And she did. And two or three of his other members were sitting out there. I said, see, I had to see these things. God was putting together a dream team. Sometimes we don't see what God is doing. You can be so caught up in the what you got in your mind and in your heart. See, the Lord had already taught me that people don't do what's best, or they don't always do the work. Whatever they actually do, it's because that's what's in their heart the most. So when God says something, you have to make sure that whatever he said is in your heart more than your own will, more than your own thoughts. And sometimes you have to drive those Canaanite thoughts away and fill your heart with only his thoughts. Then you can do his word and rejoice in it. You can be sincere. You can fill your heart with his love. You can fill your heart with his word, and you become stable. So after him, the Lord showed me these things. I knew what had to happen. And I'm not trying to tear anybody down, but people make these kind of decisions, and it costs them dearly. I didn't want to see that pastor do all that work and make all that progress, and then it all falls apart, which it did. And hopefully he learned from it.